Jets podcast is back post NFL draft. And, you know, we're talking about the draft. I think Jets fans are geeked up right now. Jets are getting a lot of good grades. And of course, we have Wayne Krabet here who will share some of his thoughts about his time back in 95, was it, Wayne?
Yeah.
95? It's a long time ago now, huh? Jeez. Yeah.
You need to perk up a little bit, man. For Jet fans, you know, there's two different feelings here in, you know, Jets X Factor family here. More optimistic and realistic about the draft than Robbie. I thought we'd be on the same page, but we'll go through the picks. Our feelings on them and just hang in the end there. I'm just going to get into 95, what the rookies should expect going into camp next week, and kind of what my experience was back then. And then we'll have a longer video come after that camp to see, you know, how they adjusted and everything like that. But we'll start with the first pick. Robbie is not a fan of the Bailey pick.
Not loving this one.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that
Bailey. What was your initial reaction, and has it changed since in the time since?
No, I didn't think we could go wrong either way. But the fact that Reese didn't go after that, I think people had the same kind of feeling as the Jets. But Bailey, yeah, Bailey's ready. You know, the amount of time he spent in there, percentage-wise, the pressure he got on the quarterback, you know, he's ready to plug right in there. So, yes, I believe he was 100% the right pick for the Jets. Is Reese going to have a better career or him? They're both going to have good careers, but I just felt Bailey's ready right now.
Fair. I mean, listen, fair. And it's not like I came away from the draft thinking awful draft. Not even close. I love the Cooper pick. We'll get to him, but I love the Cooper pick, love the Ponds pick, and even some of the later ones, which we'll get to. But just player evaluation wise, I thought Reese was much better than Bailey. And look, he's a pass rusher. He can do a lot for them immediately. Yeah. And him and Will McDonald on both those edges in pass rushing situations, it's pretty damn good, is it not?
Yeah. So we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but as far as Jermaine Johnson, you know, us not having him, getting rid of him, this is your replacement. You got a younger version, a healthier version, and a guy who's going to be around for a couple more years. So if would think you'd be comfortable with that. For all the people who, you know, when we lost Jermaine Johnson, this is why, you know, we let him go, is to bring in someone like Bailey and team him up with McDonald. And if you look at this depth chart from then to now, I think this is an upgrade.
Yes. And if you're looking at, for those looking at the screen right now, for those podcast people just listening to it, on the screen right now is a 4-2-5 nickel look, more of a wide look, but it's a pass rushing situation, pass only situation look, where you got Bailey and McDonald at both edges, and then Juwan Briggs and Onyemata on the inside, and that's you know, that's a foursome that you could live with for sure.
Yeah, basically, for people who don't know, is bringing in nickel back, bringing in extra DB, taking out a lineman. For people who don't know the, you know, the talk as far as personnel. But, yeah, basically we got younger. We got faster. Let's go into – let's just stick with the defense real quick.
Okay.
As far as the next pick, the corner.
Yep, D'Angelo Pons, second round.
Yeah. Obviously, we're skipping two picks, but I just wanted to get into that as far as the speed and the youth. D'Angelo Pons from the, you know, number one ranked Indiana team.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Glenn clone.
Yes.
Film, same size, everything like that. So, yeah, he's a guy who's going to come in and make an impact. So I just wanted to kind of throw that in there, what it looks like now with him and Pons out there. But let's go to the controversial pick, you think. Pick number two, 16th pick.
Yes.
We decide to draft Kenyon Sadiq.
What do you feel about that one?
Tight end from Oregon. Yeah. My feelings going to the draft, I love the receiver from Tate from Ohio State.
How about him getting picked fourth by Saleh? How about that? You know, yeah. That was very interesting.
Yeah. So Sadiq, listen, you know, there's workout warriors, there's, you know, combine stars and stuff like that. But, you know, watch the film on this kid. He's not a tight end. You know, you want to say, oh, a tight end shouldn't go that high in the draft. He's not a tight end. You know what I mean? He's not that. He's kind of what Brock Bowers was as far as spreading men out, mismatch, but much faster. Much faster. Like, if Freak. You look, they show the list of, you know, they'll show the 40 of guys running. And when you watch the 40 of Sadiq versus a guy like, you know, Chris McCaffrey and Bijan Robinson, Sadiq blows him away. That's how fast this kid is. But then you say, oh, he had some drops. Yeah, but he had more passes thrown to him. But I see this kid is explosive. But you can't say way too early for a tight end because he's not your typical tight end. So I was shocked by the pick, but
me too.
I wanted a receiver. I'm going to jump ahead real quick. And it ends up like we get the receiver we wanted at 30 plus this kid.
That is what, before you go on, that's what made Jets fans start to like the Sadiq pick more. The fact that they traded back into the first round and got Omar Cooper Jr., Indiana.
Yeah. So for me, before Robbie deciphers this, we got the guy at 30 that we wanted. We got the guy, the tight end, that wouldn't have been there at 30. So we got both guys in the right order. Sadiq would have never been there until the 20s. Right. But felt that, you know, that Cooper, you know, we got at 30. So, yeah. Talk about Sadiq and what you didn't like, though. But I must remind people, I know it's early for a tight end, but like I said, this kid isn't typical tight end, and this kid's not normal as far as athleticism. 40
he's off the chart. Yeah,
he's faster than Bijan and those guys. He's got a better, you know, vertical jump than LeBron, if you look at it, you know what I mean. And his broad jump is right up there with you know Olympic kind of guys.
So it's not that I didn't. Let me separate the two. I hate the Bailey versus Reese decision. The Sadiq pick at 16, I don't hate necessarily. It's just that I don't – playing tight ends, going from college to NFL is tough as it is, and he's a little bit more raw than the usual guy. His instincts, I don't know. I trust Reich. I trust a lot of the coaching, and tight ends deep every year. And in this year, this draft, so many guys went tight end. Stowers to Philly in the second round. Ben Johnson got another one. There was a bunch of them. So I felt like
– he's not a tight end, dude.
That's the thing.
I promise. He's a hybrid.
I agree.
Your tight end is Mason Taylor.
Agreed. And here's the thing. I just like Mekhi Lemon a lot more in terms of football stuff. Now, I don't know Mekhi Lemon off the field. I don't know what happened in the meetings. That's the wild card. But I agree with you. There's going to be a lot of 12 personnel that looks like three receivers with Sadiq playing the slot. And then 12 personnel where he could play the off-ball tight end second to Mason Taylor and get him moving and doing all that stuff. So that's what I envision for him.
Let's do Monday morning football.
Okay.
So pick 16 and pick 30. We got Sadiq and we got Omar Cooper Jr. from Indiana receiver. Mm-hmm. Two massive upgrades to put along Garrett Wilson. You tell me your two picks that you would have liked better at 16 and 30.
If I were running the draft, and again,
you're telling me Mekhi at what, 16?
I don't want people to get confused. I'm not crushing the Sadiq pick.
I'm just saying what would be the guy at 16 and 30?
I would have went Reese at 2, and because Mekhi
Lemon. No, forget about that. That's interchangeable. I'm talking
it would have been Mekhi Lemon at 2.
You talking about number 6, the 16th
pick. I'm sorry, 16, yes. Okay. It would have been Mekhi Lemon at 16. And then
– what would you got at 30?
We might not have to trade back into the first round at 30. We could actually trade down, acquire more assets, grab Stowers, the other tight end who is
– is what? Is a second-round pick at that.
He's good, man. Dude, he's good. And Philly – you know what's funny? Philly got Mekhi Lemon and Stowers, which is going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
You could even go Mekhi Lemon and Cooper. You could trade back in with Cooper. That would have been cool too. And still get a tight end later.
Well, that's why you're sitting here with me and you're not sitting next to Moody.
Dude, I wasn't gonna say it out loud, but you said what I was thinking.
Listen, I know explosiveness and you know, the next pick we got after Pons was Darrell Jackson Jr. From Florida
State. I love that pick, by the way.
Yeah. Because so he was pick 103 in the fourth round. I don't know as much about him. You could talk about him a little bit.
He's a big boy. He's a massive dude. And
he's a gravedigger. He's a gravedigger, man.
Yeah, he's a big boy. And, you know, when you get to the fourth round, I'm looking for good chances, like lotto tickets. And I think he is that. Will he be ready right away? Maybe he could contribute. But the thing is, the Jets, they're so deep in the middle, they won't need him to be ready. And he's basically Sweat's backup, the zero tech. He's a zero tech. He's a nose tackle. And I love it. I love it in terms of high upside.
All you need this kid to do is just push the middle. Do not let these quarterbacks escape up the middle or step up in the pocket. And Bailey and McDonald and Sherwood and all that speed just going to converge on this guy. And, he's a good, solid pick. So we trade back and get Cade Klubnik, obviously. A fan of that, considering my middle son is Cade. So we move up. Here's the thing about Klubnik, which people thought about it at the time, like, you know, could we got him here? Couldn't got him there. Could we not moved up to picks and gave it? Listen, he's a Purdy kind of guy. He's pocket presence. He's older. Ty Simpson, the Rams taking Ty Simpson.
Did that shock the hell out of you or what?
They're to win now. They're built to win right now. Why would you bring him in? Stafford's not, you know, on the way out. I mean, he's older, but you know, they're a playoff team, championship team. I don't understand the pick. I don't think we would have took him. Maybe a 30, but Cade Klubnik's a solid quarterback, played in a good program versus good competition, more experience. But this is what I talked about. This is exactly what I wanted. And I wanted, you know, Gino came in. We took Brun Gino, young guy, Cade. We didn't have to give up. You know, again, remember, we were going to try to move up from Mendoza or this and that. We're going to give up.
That was their early talk. Yeah, man.
We're going to give up two number ones, next year number ones. We got everything we got and didn't give one pick away.
Yes. I like, from an overall strategy standpoint.
Yep.
I liked where they landed. They weren't too aggressive. They didn't sell the farm. And by the way, I'll put up highlights while we're talking. Doesn't even have to be matched up right now. This is the big boy, Darrell Jackson, right here, courtesy of Joe Blewett. There's one tech right there. Hold your ground. He's a big dude, Wayne.
Yeah. So essentially, here's what we did. And this is my opinion. As a fan looking at it and then as a player looking at it. So still going to bring in a vet, you know, at quarterback. They mentioned Russell Wilson.
Oh, yes. What is your feeling on Russell Wilson? Yay or nay, or are you kind of in between?
Someone like him, but we don't need an ego coming in that thinks he should be a starter. We need someone in that's going to know his role, which is one – to help this kid learn, Cade, to be ready to go, you know, and not have, like, there's going to be controversy about, you know, if they start slow or not, or if Klubnik shows up and he's doing great in camp. But here's the thing. We, from our game plan, from when we had that pick to after this draft, when we got all those picks that we might have given up to trade for a quarterback, you know, they're talking about Burrow, talking about this. Yep. We got everything we needed. Now we could have Geno Smith as a starting quarterback because of the weapons we gave him. He doesn't have to do it all by himself. We got Garrett, we got Sadiq, Cooper. We still got Mitchell. We got Mason Taylor. We got Breece. Geno fits in perfect with this. Now you got your quarterback of the future, maybe in Cade. But we have all our picks for the 2027 deepest quarterback draft there is. And we have all our picks.
All of them.
But yet we're not in a situation where there's no tank for Arch Manning. We're in, like, we could win. We could go to the playoffs. We could do anything we want. We still have our picks that if even a successful year, we don't have to lose. We could win and still move up to get one of those top three guys next year.
Agreed. Because it's amazing flexibility.
We have amazing flexibility.
Yes.
The best of both worlds. We don't have to, you know, we're not counting losses to try to get one of these kids. We have all that draft equity, all that salary cap stuff for next year. And we'll see where we are. But right now we're built where, like you said, we don't have to worry about being middle of the pack. We have, you know, like I said, We have so many more options right now than we did, you know, a month ago or 2 months ago.
Agreed. And at this point, it's up to the coaches to put it on the field and get it done. Yeah. And, you know, another theme, too, which I think is right to call out, the NFL has been moving more towards multiple tight end sets.
Yeah.
And going Sadiq, even if you're like me and you're like, you know, you're unsure about the pick, committing to that and realizing that trend is definitely something worthy of calling out.
But I didn't even, like, I knew the kid. It wasn't even mentioned that
he heard a couple things. I heard a couple things. Look
at this catch, dude.
Yeah, here he is on the screen out of the slot. And that's going to be a big thing. He's going to play a lot of receiver. He is.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you've seen any still shots of this kid in his uniform.
Oh, dude.
He look at this. I mean, dude, this kid's trying to score in every play. So at the draft party, I got a chance. I had never met him, but Griffin wanted to meet him. Braylon Allen. Between Braylon Allen and Sadiq,
yeah,
you know, they're gonna have their, you know, their jerseys tucked up under their pads and their, you know, their pads on their shoulder. These two
fights break out, you're running away.
Let's put it that way. I'm running towards them to get behind them.
Yeah, if you're the opponent, is what I'm saying.
These kids, they're different breeds. And just talking to Braylon, he's a great kid. Gave some time, and he talked to Griffin. Obviously, Griffin's going to start playing football as a freshman next year. But just looking at these two specimens and what they're going to do out there together, you know, you got to remember, you know, we didn't have Braylon. So he's almost like getting another draft pick. Yeah. So we have depth. We got a speed and cheap, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, we need Mitchell to step up, and, you know, nice to have another guy who's just not a line filler as far as receiver and stuff like that. But yep. So we had two more picks.
Inez Cooper, Cade Klubnik, which they traded up for. And there's a lot of stories about there in terms of maybe they wanted someone else. I don't know what's true and what's not. I do know they liked Klubnik. And what I know from him is he is an alpha. Like, he's got that moxie mindset leadership to him. And it could work one of two ways. But I like that in terms of a fourth round shot at a quarterback. And then sixth round, Inez Cooper, big interior lineman. Seventh round, VJ Bain. This safety runs a 4.4 flat nearly at a K-State. And if you get a speedy safety who can hit a little bit in the seventh round, that's a shot I'm taking every time.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, it's at this point, you could pick up, you know, you want to pick up experienced players. You want to pick up guys that have the attributes of speed, you know, things you could, like, mold, you know, size. Mm-hmm. You might have to just give them a little technique. Or whatever it might be to kind of, like, get them to the next level. You don't know what they're going to do. You can, you know, this kid, you look with Brady, look with Puka. You know, right. These guys who are like, wow, why didn't everybody see this?
Right.
And that's what's the magical thing about the diamonds in the rough and getting these late-round picks who turn out to be, you know, massive players in the league.
It's the moment. Taking advantage of the moment, like this man did in 95, wearing number 3.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, rookie minicamp Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
JetX will be there. I'll be there. I want to see these guys up close and personal. A lot of the tryouts, too. I need to write an article to get the tryout kids' names on our site, because I always want to do that each year.
Yeah.
Wayne, do you remember the first time you stepped foot on the field in terms of, was it rookie camp? Was it training camp, or was it before training camp?
No. I essentially went over there after the draft, which I thought they were going to sign me. Mm-hmm. You know, either the Bengals, the Saints, or the Jets offered a free agent contract, but they wanted me to come over one more time for a workout. And, you know, they threw 100 passes at me. I remember Todd Haley.
Yes.
Pittsburgh. Yeah, he was the receiver coach. Yep. Or, and, you know, Dick Haley was
in the organization. Yeah, his father.
He, you know, that was his son. Actually, he was a golf pro, I think, Todd, whatever it was.
He looks like a golf pro. He could pull it off.
Yeah, he was fun. He was tough. But obviously, you know, people know the story. I don't even want to get into it. You know, getting into camp with the security guys.
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome story. People know about Harry not letting me in. But, yeah. This is the first chance you get to go out there, and actually they get a chance to put a playbook in your hands and to see kind of how you pick things up this and that. It's very vanilla. But I'm guessing it might be a little different because, you know, we were more go pads and go a little harder back then, but AG's not the kind of guy that's going to shy away. He's going to make these young guys go against each other in situations where, you know, their peers are watching, and he's going to match guys up, you know, and it's not like the, you know, the ones versus the sixes and the twos versus the four. He's going to have the ones versus the ones. You know what I mean? He's going to have pawns out there versus, you know, Cooper. These guys and see what they have.
They can carry that rivalry over from Indiana too.
Yeah.
So be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is, you know, this is Aaron Glenn's chance to go in there and just, you know, let these guys know the expectations, where they fall right now. And what I heard when I came in was one. This is one of the best things that I could have heard. I haven't told the story as much, you know, but if you ever want to know about someone believing in you, and going into a situation that's going to be difficult and the unknown, and me going in there, and obviously I was last on the depth chart, but it's a reason. There's draft picks, there's free agents.
Always got to earn it. Always.
And then there's undrafted guys. But Coach Richard Mann, he was the receiver coach when I got there in 95. Gentleman, you know, he's a black kid, black receiver coach, who ended up moving up in the ranks after I was with him a couple years. Coach Mann, after I went in there, you know, got the playbook and stuff, didn't know what to say. And he just said, I want to tell you something right now. Coach Mann said, Wayne, he's like, I don't coach color. He's like, I don't care if you're white, you're black, or whatever. He's like, if you can play, he's like, I will put you in there. It doesn't matter. And being pretty much the only, you know, white receiver in there, I just said to him, I said, that's all I can ask for is a fair shot. You know, not that I expected anything different, but he point blank said that to me. And it wasn't even in my mind, but when he said it, I was like, you know, I like this. I feel like, you know, if I prove myself, not that I'm going to make the team, but that I'm going to get another chance like that. And right. it was just nice to know that was my first discussion with my future receiver coach. And, you know, it brought us together, and he rooted for me, but he was hard on me too. You know, and his saying, Coach Mann, his saying was always like, quit being, or he just quit being. And he never finished it. Quit being that you dropped it. Quit being. Whatever it was, or quit being.
You just knew what it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You knew what
it was.
Meant.
Whatever you, when you had it, was like, you know, being mopey or dropping a pass or not knowing. It was just quit being. And then kind of stuck with me over the years.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So for people to know, that was my first experience. That was my first meeting. That was – what it all started with 30, win years ago, and that's what these kids are going to encounter. Some might be shell-shocked who are coming from a different part of the country, or from, you know, bigger schools or smaller schools, but I walked across the street. You know, I was in my neighborhood. I came from class. That was my advantage. I was in my element.
Yeah.
So for people who are coming from Indiana, you know, that's not New York City. You know, that's not traffic on the LIE. These people are going to be a little shell-shocked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And so, it was such a huge story at the time, too. Yeah. In terms of you being a local local kid, it was a different world, too, with the newspapers and such.
No social media.
Yeah.
But so you know, like, behind the scenes, I was told that regardless of draft pick or this and that,
status,
you know, your statistics, that there was going to be a fair chance, maybe one, maybe two. Obviously, when they invest money in people, they'll give you more chances. Draft pick, signing bonus, they're going to give you more chances to help.
It's a business, yeah.
Yeah, but like I said, Coach Mann, Coach Kotite, you know, Coach Earhart was there from Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. They told me that day, like, hey, do your best and just what will be what will be. So we're 25 minutes in, but I wanted to tell that story so people understood, you know, how it was back then for me, and why 31 years later I'm sitting out here talking to Robbie Sabo.
my have times changed.
It's cliche, you know, for anybody listening, oh, if you believe yourself and believe in this, good things will happen. Listen, they can happen. Maybe, you know, not like that, but, you know, just having people believe in you is an amazing thing.
Yeah, I agree. And in today's day and age, too, you kind of, even when you're covering the game, you overlook the small things like that. You know, when a coach says the right thing to calm someone down and help them mentally.
Yeah. So grade. So what's your grade? Your final grade for the
draft? For the draft? I'll go B overall. It if you take away the first pick, it's A for me.
If you take away David Bailey, you go from a B to an A.
Yeah, probably.
I just, like, you're supposed to be the smart guy.
Who said that?
You telling me from Bailey to Reese is a full jump from,
because because it's number two pick, rarefied air, and it's not, listen, it's more a thing about Reese and what I feel he's gonna do as opposed to not loving Bailey, if that makes sense.
Dude, it just sounds stupid for you to say that. It's not like we took, like, you know, a jump. Yeah. Bailey was number two or number three. They were, you know, like I said, but you're talking about Bailey like he's gonna be a bust.
Oh, no.
Reese is going to be first ballot.
I don't think he's going to be a bust, but I think it might come. There might be some things that have to come in terms of playing within structure and all around game. I think he contribute to the pass rushing right away. I definitely feel that.
Well, my grade is an A. Grade is an A. You know, and listen, we were one of the only teams based at A+. And this was by ESPN. This was by all the pundits. This
universally, graders.
This isn't me being optimistic lifer. This is like a majority decision based on scouts and this and that. Doesn't equal wins, but that lets you know the town we brought in. But you can't tell me a whole grade.
I'm definitely, and when any, this will be our social media clip for sure. Anyone listening to this, I'm the one who doesn't fall in line. Wayne is correct. The Jets have been universally lauded for this draft, 100%.
Yeah, I'm just saying one grade. I could say you saying a B plus with, you know, a half a grade. You know, a with Bailey and you know, with a Reese and a B plus.
Maybe I was factoring Sadiq in there too.
No, you can't change your mind now. Could be. Listen, you can't say, well, we would have traded back and got this. You are stuck with this decision.
I'll wear it.
Yeah, you're going to wear some shit, dude, when Bailey leads the league in sacks.
And you know what? I'll be on here saying I was lead the league in sacks. Did you just say that?
Bud, I'm telling you, man. And just looking at it as a whole, I'm just telling you, from how interchangeable Reese and Bailey was. It shouldn't be a whole grade. I know what a whole grade is.
We might need a friendly wager on this one. We're going to have to work this out next show, the wager.
So, listen, like, subscribe. I think this was a good, informative, our opinions. Like I said, I'm being realistic.
Absolutely.
As well as optimistic. But I wanted you guys to know the stories. Even though it's 31 years ago, that's the conversation I had. That kind of like set me on my way. Coach Richard Mann. Yeah. And that was my first, you know, closed door meeting, like shell shock, like to be in the building. And I left that room, you know, shook his hand and I was like, all right, we checked that box. Let's go down the locker room and then let's get on the field.
How were your teammates? Was everyone just focused on their own thing pretty much at that point?
They thought I was crazy. The vets, so Richie Anderson, Brad Baxter, Fred Baxter.
Right from the jump?
I sat like this and they're like,
you're all this.
They'd be looking at my hat like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, what? They're like, you don't talk. I'm like, I don't want to talk.
All business, yeah.
But then I'd come out with something and they'd be like, you know, just like manic, like highs and lows. They'd be like, what? They're like, something's wrong with you. Like, I don't want to mess with this guy.
Yeah. If you ever get sent to jail, you'll be good.
Yeah. Like, subscribe, comments. We're going to start doing giveaways, and I want to do some live shows. We keep talking about that. But just stay tuned to the site, because we can do a lot more things than we did last year. But, you know, thanks.
Yeah, we'll have some goodies.
Thanks for tuning in. There'll be a, you know, bash Robbie Sable's grade section on the comments.
Dude, it's gonna happen all summer. I'm ready. Yeah. I'm prepared.
Yeah. Just put hashtag Robbie Hate and then we'll know what you're talking about.
Capital H, capital A, capital T, capital E. Make sure they're in capital letters, though.
All right. Well, like, subscribe. See everybody soon.
All right. Bye.